Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. But the coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
He's a really eloquent meathead.
That's his rap persona. eloquent meathead.
The eloquent meathead.
Yeah, I think he would probably be okay with that.
Oh, he'd 100% sign off on that.
I was listening to that, and yeah, I actually am. I'm okay with it. If Anthony said it, I'm always good with Anthony. Don't worry about that.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it. Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the first NFL college player draft of the new millennium.
So an anxious time for so many football players who are college stars. Among the last six picks taken, a familiar name if you're a college football fan, Tom Brady, the quarterback, Michigan, and Matt Bowen.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are very lucky to have Matt Bowen joining us here on draft night. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Check out CircaLasVegas.com. We have to always bring this up because it's always important to bring up.
Okay.
You were the last player drafted before Tom Brady.
That's right.
And, you know, it's been a couple years since Brady has retired, and it's kind of crazy because you had a longer – I think about it in terms like this, Matt. You had a longer than average NFL career, what, seven seasons, right?
Right.
And he played for three times that long in the NFL. The concept of that is insane.
It is. I remember this. My youngest boy, Ron, he was now 11. We were watching Brady – when he was playing with Tampa, and I said, you know, I was drafted one spot below him. And he looked at me very seriously and said, well, why aren't you still playing? And I didn't have an answer for him. You know, at that point, I had no answer for him. I said, well, this is unique. You know, Tom Brady is a guy who's played 20-plus years in the NFL. You don't really see that very often. But that's how great of a player he is. That's how great of a winner he was.
Well, you know, tell him to watch the Matt Bowen roast on Netflix. And also... To congratulate you on being a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, that's the exciting stuff.
That's what he should be excited about.
Damn
for sure.
Right.
I think that you moved me, Matt, on where I'm at on the draft when you started talking about Kelvin Banks Jr., because he was on the list of players that I was looking at for the Bears. What stands out about him that makes you go, you know what, it's worth it for them to go out and get a tackle?
A couple of things. The metrics, one, how productive he was, the tackle position, did not give up a lot of sacks, did not give up a lot of pressures, and playing against high-level competition in the SEC conference, where Texas is now. The other thing is the athleticism. You know, he moves like a basketball player on a football field. That's what you want when you look at offensive tackles. The footwork. Do they have the quick lower body movement? Can they slide in protection? Can they redirect in protection? He comes off the ball in the run game, can climb, block down. All the things you're looking for in terms of the traits, the metrics at the position, someone who played against high-level competition, that's when you start to say this is a player that's going to have a high draft grade. This is someone that can upgrade our football team. This is someone who can challenge to start day one at the left tackle position.
Is it me, Matt, or am I hearing more than I've ever heard before of, like, this guy's a tackle, but he might have to start at guard?
That's the narrative of the entire class, right, Speaks? That's what everyone keeps saying. Someone's got to play tackle. Let's put it that way. Someone has to play tackle. And there's so many reasons. Look at Will Campbell. They talk about, you know, the lack of arm length. But again, Will Campbell has high-level tape against SEC competition. So someone has to play tackle. And I'll just say this. At the end of the day, you have to draft football players, right? We can talk about the metrics. I just did. That's part of this process. We can talk about the metrics all day long. But someone has to line up and play football. If you think one of these top offensive linemen can play tackle and you have a high grade on them and you have a quality coaching staff that believes they can develop them against NFL competition, then draft him to play tackle. Draft him to play tackle. But if you go in and you draft a player and say, well, he could be a tackle, he could be a guard, then I don't think you should take that player. I think you have to have a solid grade on him. You have to have an agreement within the draft room. This is a position we're going to develop him at. And yes, people do change positions. Sometimes tackles do slide into guard. But when you're the Chicago Bears right now, you just hired a new head coach. I would be very definitive in my answer when I'm looking at offensive players on that line and saying, this is a tackle for us or this is a guard for
us. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if this is like a league-wide trend or something. Like, because, for instance, Peter Skoronski is still a guard. You know,
yes.
in Tennessee, and a real good one, but he's still a guard, and that dude's tape screamed tackle in the Big Ten, right? So I wonder if it's a league wide thing that
another
like
short arm thing.
Another short arm thing. So
yes.
So I don't know if it's a league thing or just about this class, Matt.
I think it is a league thing in general. Some, you know, I got buddies in the league, and some of them, my guys I talk to do have Will Campbell graded as a guard. Some have him graded as a tackle. You know, it's just, this is the thing about this draft, Speak. It's going to be, I think, one of the most unique drafts we've watched in a while because everyone's going to have a different board. You know, there's only 5 or 6 blue chip players, you know, as of today, right? That's going to change when they start playing football, but as of today. So when does the draft start to change? And when do we see players, especially 20 through 32, that we say, wow, I didn't expect him to be a first rounder? I think there'll be a lot of surprises tonight, and it could start early. It could start very early with a player like Ashton Gentry going at 5 to Jacksonville, which is something that's a very hot topic right now that wasn't talked about in the last couple of weeks.
What do you think about Gentry?
I think he has difference-making ability. And when you talk about someone who has difference-making ability, that means they're a top 15 pick, in my opinion. And Ashton Gentry, you know what he can do as a runner. But the thing with the National Football League, different than college, is the offenses are so different with the running back route tree and the usage for a running back in the pass game. So you have to really focus on what he can do as a pass catcher. And I think in a pro offense, you're going to see those numbers go way up in terms of targets, in terms of receptions and overall production, because he can be utilized as a threat out of the backfield. He can be a dual threat player for you in the National Football League. And that's how you have to view him. That's how you have to view all your running backs when you draft them in the first, I almost say the first couple of rounds. How do they impact the pass game too? And with Gentry, if you project that, that means he's a top 15, top 10 player.
God, it scares me though, Matt. Like, you know, top 10 running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs is a hit. Bijan Robinson, I don't know, you know? And like, and I remember CJ Spiller, I think was 9 overall. You know, like
right.
So sometimes what makes a running back truly special? Like, I love thinking about the styles of running backs and the different kinds. Like, these days in the NFL, what makes someone as special as they need to be to warrant a pick like that?
I think a couple of things. One is short area speed. It needs to be elite. You know, your ability to go from 0 to 10, how fast you can do that. Change of direction matters. The ability to make people miss. Now, there's multiple ways to do that. You can make a defender miss at the point of attack with your lateral quickness, or you can run right through them, right? I think Gentry provides both of those in terms of the elusiveness and the contact balance. You want them to be willing in pass protection. They don't have to be a finished product. I keep saying this when you talk about a player at any position. You have to coach them, right? When they get to the National Football League, they're not finished. They're not finished developing. They're just starting to develop a different level of football, so you're going to have to coach them. But are they willing in pass protection? Ashton Gentry is. And what does he project in the pass game? With Gentry, I think that's someone that can have 50-plus receptions a year in the NFL. So when you put that all together, yeah, that looks like a top 10 pick. Now, the question is the physicality of the position, right? That always is a question with running backs. And the volume they get and the – you know, the downhill carries between the tackles and the hits they take, that all adds up. That has to be part of your final grade. But if you are Chicago and you have Ashton Gentry and you have DeAndre Swift, well, now the volume is not going to be as high because you're going to have a rotation just like Ben Johnson did in Chicago. I mean, in Detroit with the 2 running backs there.
So if I'm a little scared about Ashton Gentry in terms of the value, should I feel better because Eric Bieniemy is here, to your point about needing to be coached?
Well, I think Bieniemy is going to be an excellent position coach because I think he's going to hold players accountable. I think he's going to coach extremely hard, too. And, you know, Ben Johnson has mentioned that about his staff and how they're going to hold people accountable and their style of coaching. It is going to be different up in House Hall. It is going to be a major transition. I think we talked about this before, that if you're a player with the Bears and you're just starting off-season workouts, you probably already got a sense of what it's going to be like, that there is a different feel, different energy, and a different level of accountability up there, because that's exactly what this football team needs after what we saw last year. and the inability to win football games, the inability to close football games, the inability to be decisive in decision-making and execution late in football games. So that this team definitely needs that.
We were thinking about calling you earlier in the week, Matt, because we know that you watch a ton of Iowa football being an alum.
Let's be honest. We always think about calling Matt.
Well, there's no reason not to, especially when you're thinking about talking football. But we were looking at Tyler Warren and saying, okay, can he be a George Kittle? Can he be Sam LaPorta? When you look at the two top tight ends in this draft, what do you see? What's fair to expect from both?
That's a great question, because I think there's a possibility that they both could be available at 10. If the Bears stay at 10, Tyler Warren could be there. Colston Loveland could be there. Now, to me, Tyler Warren, I'm going to throw an older name at you, someone I played against, Jeremy Shockey, University of Miami, played for the New York Giants. I competed against Shockey. It's the physicality, the competitive toughness. It's a long day. It's a long day matching up to a tight end like that, because they are so competitive. They are so physical at the point of attack, and they never stop. The energy level is unbelievable. And you get a sense of that when you watch Tyler Warren on tape. Now, look, at the college level, they use him as a wildcat quarterback. I don't think you're going to see that so much in the NFL, but what he does, he's a rugged mover after the catch. He's going to break tackles after the catch. You can use him between the numbers. He can be an underneath outlet. He's got enough lower body quickness where he can separate from man coverage. Now, on the other hand, Colston Loveland, to me, is, you know, a matchup player in the pass game. When you use 12 personnel and it looks like 11 personnel, it looks like three wide receivers in the field. He can press the seams, can run the deep overs, the deep crossers, easy ability to separate from linebackers and coverage. At Michigan, they threw him wide receiver screen, so that would give Ben Johnson a much deeper game plan if you have someone like Colston Loveland in terms of creating matchups in the pass game. But they're both really good players, but they are different players in terms of their pass game usage and what it projects like on Sundays.
That's great stuff. Now, which one would complement Cole Kmet more as a two tight end tandem for this year right away?
I mean, Spiegs, I would probably say Loveland just because of what you can do in matchups, and he can be your move player. But look, if you have Cole Kmet and Tyler Warren on the field, you're still going to be very tough to cover because of what they can do and the physicality they can provide. And now you have to have someone that can match up in terms of route running and to be able to match up physically at the top of the break. And it's not as easy said as done. So I think both give a matchup ability, but in terms of a true compliment, it'd probably be Loveland.
So, yeah, I mean, what is the most fun toy that we can give Ben Johnson? The mad scientist, of these options that we're talking about, what's the most fun toy for him?
The most fun would probably be Jenty. It probably would, just because of what I think he could do as a receiver. Now, the issue is that what does it cost to move up? If you're moving from 10 to 5, let's say, it's at least one of your second-round picks and maybe more, right? So you have to weigh that as well. Is he the difference maker we think he is? Then if you're okay doing that, now understanding that this roster is not full yet. Okay, this roster still has areas that need to upgrade. And you only have 7 picks going into tonight, right, starting the first round. So that would be the major discussion at Hallis Hall, is what does it cost to move up? If they don't move up and Jenty goes earlier, for me, it would be Warren, just because I like how he plays. And that's his personal, but I think those guys are tough to match up against. I think they can, you know, change or tilt the field when you push the ball underneath and you force people to tackle. And on third downs, they can be chain movers for you.
Matt, when it comes to you scouting defensive ends, what are the things that you're looking for to figure out if a guy can elevate from college football to the pros?
I think the first thing is the traits, right? It's the frame, the speed, and the power, right? Those are the first things you look at. Do they have a combination of two or three? Do they have all three? Where can they develop more? Now, expecting a college pass rusher to come into this league and to be one of the high-level guys in terms of technique and hand usage, I think that's unfair, as you're going to have to coach them. Because in college, the top-tier pass rushers can have a couple moves and win with speed to power because they're much better players and much better athletes. But when they get to the NFL, what we see usually with young pass rushers is they don't see that developmental arc take off really to the second half of the season in their rookie year. And why is that? Because they're figuring out how to rush the passer. They're figuring out that they're going against Pro Bowlers at left or right tackle. And you can't just win with speed and you can't just win with power. And you have to study film and analyze your opponent and find their weakness and understand what I can do to gain an edge or to attack their edges to get home to the quarterback. But those are the things I look at first, Lawrence, always with pass rushers, is the traits, because I think you have to have them. And everyone, like I said at the top of the show, eventually you got to play football, right? But when you're drafting high, especially in the top 15, you're looking at a pass rusher, the traits do matter.
I kept thinking about Aiden Hutchinson, and you're right. Like, the traits are there. You're that long. You're that fast around the edge. But even as good as he is, there's still some technique and secondary and tertiary moves that he's still working on. And and when he gets it down, like, this is a guy that's already had a 12-sack season. When he starts to really figure it out, he's going to be an absolute menace.
Yeah, and he also has, I call him second effort sacks, because his energy level and his play speed is so high. He doesn't stop. You know, he has a motor that doesn't stop. And that's part of it, too. And we talk about the traits, but, you know, your football character on the field really matters to me, and how you play the game. And do you get some, do you make some plays late in the down? If you make plays late in the down as a pass rusher, that means you're not stopping. You're not satisfied with making the quarterback step up or slide. You're going to get home to the quarterback eventually if he continues to hold the football. That leads to more production. That leads to more third down wins. It should be a part of your profile. And if you don't have that, I would question drafting you very high.
Is there a defensive end that Bears fans should be psyched about if they take him at 10?
Well, Abdul Carter's not going to be there. Let's just go ahead and say that right now. Everyone understands that. And I think after that, someone like Mykael Williams from Georgia would probably be the next pass rusher there, I think. Mykael Williams, 6'5" frame, has the length, can win with speed to power. Again, has to develop his hands. But can run the arc. When you're talking about running the arc, running the hoop, to, you know, to bend on the edge and get home to the quarterback and do that. He's just going to need some coaching. But that's someone, if you're the Chicago Bears, you say, look, we're trying to add depth. And this is about this class, Speaks. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a day one productive starter? Or are you looking for more traits and upside? If the Chicago Bears right now, based on what they did in free agency, you might be looking for more traits and upside in a pass rusher. Someone you can develop, someone that can be a key player for you in the defensive line rotation, you know, the first half of the season, and really take off that second half of the season. But you know, 2 to 3 years down the line, he's going to be your unquestioned one of your top starters in the defensive end position. So that, to me, would be Mykael Williams.
You've been talking a lot today about Matt Bowen, about traits versus football player tape. What do we got with Mason Graham in that regard, as the dream of him sliding down to 10 exists for some of us?
I think it could happen, because I think he could slide. And the reason would be is the lack of pass rush production in college. And look, you're a defensive tackle, you're not going to get 12 sacks a year, but he doesn't have, you know, high numbers in terms of sack production. So maybe that forced him to slide a little bit. But that's one of the players I was talking about. With the effort level, and now it's there now. I mean, you talk about someone who always plays hard. His tape is extremely fun to watch because of that. Look, he's got great footwork. The hand usage is there. He's going to have to develop more as an interior pass rusher, but Michigan used him in different alignments, okay? And that, to me, fits with Dennis Allen, because you're going to see when they start playing football in September how many different fronts they're going to put out there. And Mason Graham has some position versatility to create more interior matchups.
Speaking of Dennis Allen, there was a conversation last week about the idea of Kyler Gordon having to learn a couple new spots, that maybe there is some outside corner, and maybe in some packages he's going to look like he's playing safety. From someone who had to do this, how difficult is this to be able to maintain all of those skills from seemingly three different position groups?
I think it will be a challenge, but Gordon has the traits to do that. He has the football intelligence to do that. You can see in the way he plays. He has the game speed to do it for sure, and he's a physical player. He's someone that can play safety. That might be, you know, a path for him later in his career to transition to safety position. Now, playing in the boundary is different than playing inside. I think it's tougher to play inside. Play over the slot is one of the toughest positions in the National Football League. He's already showed he could do that. Can he play outside? Sure. He has the footwork for it. He will challenge and press. He can open and run. There's no question about that. And I think that's fun to talk about because, again, and no disrespect, I'm not disrespecting coaches here, but the former coaching staff, you didn't see a lot of movement, all right, in the defensive side of the ball in terms of movement, late movement, disguise, multiple coverages. You know, we know what Matt Eberflus coached. But Dennis Allen, it's going to be a fun defense to watch. There's going to be guys that are going to move in pre-snap, post-snap, playing multiple spots, having position versatility, bumping down, bumping back. It's going to be a fun defense to watch because they're going to consistently challenge quarterbacks and change the picture post-snap. I always use that term. Even the best quarterbacks have to read it out, right? So how many times can we change the picture post-snap, show them one thing, give them another, and force them to read it out and speed up that internal clock?
I thought Kevin Hart was great at the Matt Bowen roast. I mean, he was really strong. But my favorite moment of the Matt Bowen roast, without a doubt, is when Trung Candidate came out and got you back for the big hit in practice, man. He just, what a set.
Trung and I were drafted together in St. Louis, and we lived together before camp that year.
Man.
Yeah, I've known Trung for a long time. That was just football. We were having a down day at practice, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And I did. And Coach Spurrier was so mad at me.
Yeah, he didn't like it. Steve Spurrier didn't like how hard you hit Trung Candidate. But it's just football. It's just practice, mister. Good job, yeah. Matt.
For a guy that, and you spoke romantically about like the end of the season and what mm-hmm. it means to still go out there and compete against mm-hmm. Green Bay in that game, that there's a pride level. Uh-oh. For someone who loves the game the way that you do and spent now like a big portion of your professional career on the media side getting mm-hmm. ready for a night like this, what's this stir up in you, whether it's the old player or the current scout, when you're thinking about the NFL draft?
Well, the first thing goes to being a former player because it is life-changing. It's an opportunity that how many people in this world get to compete to play on Sundays? And everyone knows when you're drafted, that's just the start. It doesn't mean you made the team. Obviously, the top picks are going to. But for someone like me, who was a sixth-round pick, it's just an opportunity, right? But to have that opportunity, I always go back to my first mini camp in St. Louis, and I walked in there, and it's Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Orlando Pace, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. These are Hall of Fame football players. And to say I have to compete against these guys, one – but just how surreal the moment was and how big the moment was for me. I'll always remember that. I always will. And that league is very hard to make. It's very hard to survive and to stay in. But tonight, for those guys that get drafted and throughout the weekend, it is life-changing because it is a unique opportunity in life. It can open so many doors for you in life. If you handle it professionally and have elite football character, it will take you great places in life.
Matt, as always, we appreciate your time. Have fun tonight. Thanks for being on with us.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
He's so great.
Yeah, man. So just great stuff.
If you want to learn football, damn it, that guy right there can teach it to you.
If you want to learn categories, you got to be listening to when we play the game of categories, because then you'll learn about all the stuff that's
what
within
what are the categories today?
I can't tell you.
I mean, he gave them to us basically yesterday, but it's fine.
Did I?
No. But you said it was Super Bowl, or not Super Bowl.
Draft related.
Draft related.
So he's probably repeating a ton.
I have all the drafts here of all time. Perfect.
No,
so I'm ready, baby.
No screens.
Guess I might need extra time, though.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do our best. Draft categories.
Well,
so it's not draft categories.
There's definitely
it's Speaks favorite categories.
Yeah. We're drafting what he failed to tell us is that it's baseball draft
right.
categories that we have to start talking about Kelvin Mitchell and all the other stuff.
It's the Jack Nicholson,
Courtney Hawkins.
Jack Nicholson movie draft categories coming up.
All right, that sounds good too. It's next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is categories, and we play it every Thursday. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The categories game master guy is Matt Spiegel.
Damn right I am, and this is an NFL draft edition of categories.
So we were right.
You are exactly right. I am discarding my 25 greatest Dodgers of all time category.
Did you seriously have that in the pile for today?
I had four.
Gross.
Yeah, I had four ready to go. But we'll go with the
I got one.
Only
Juan
four Uribe. Dodgers?
Juan Uribe.
He's not one of the greatest of all time.
Yasiel Puig,
not one of the greatest Dodgers of all time. This is the problem. You can't
Steve
mention
Garvey.
It. Yes, that is correct.
So I win. All right. I'm going to take the first round bye here.
Danny gets a first round bye.
I'm going to go back to my William Friedkin book, which I still haven't finished.
I am looking right here.
I would have thought you'd been done with that
AJ
by now.
AJ Pollock.
It's a long one, Lawrence.
Not AJ Pollock. It's not good enough. A couple different positions that the Bears may be looking at tonight. The first one is this. Tight end. Boy, I wonder if they'll take a tight end. Lawrence really likes Colston Loveland. I like Tyler Warren. I'm looking at...
I also like Tyler Warren,
whatever.
By the way.
No. You hate Tyler Warren. You can only have one.
All right.
I'm looking at every tight end taken in the first round of the NFL draft since the year 2000. These are all the tight ends taken in round one of the NFL draft since the year 2000. There are 26 of them. Lawrence, would you like to mention one of them?
Jeremy Shockey.
Jeremy Shockey gets his second mention this hour on 670 The Score. Chris Tannehill.
Oh, Jason Witten?
Jason Witten.
He's a late round pick.
Jason Witten.
Scoring by some of the greats here. I don't care either way.
Enjoy.
You just tell me it's
your Billy Friedkin.
All right. We're moving on. We're getting closer to the Exorcist chapter, Speaks. The Sonny and Cher movie, I got to say, it's not a page turner for me. So I'll just continue on with that.
Tell me if he mentions film producer Phil D'Antoni, who he worked with so closely. No, Jason Witten. Shane, do you have a first round tight end for me?
Kyle Pitts,
absolutely. Lawrence.
Tony Gonzalez.
My goodness, you people. You
that was those
people.
90s, right?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Since the year 2000.
Way to go, Shane.
Shane, give me another one just for fun.
David Njoku.
David. Longtime David Njoku enthusiast, Shane Reardon.
Give me the rest of that list.
Greg Olson.
Oh, my God. Brock Bowers, Greg Olson, TJ Hockenson, OJ Howard, Eric
the
Ebron.
Yeah. Brandon Pettigrew.
I started writing down former Bears as you were saying the question. Martellus a first rounder?
Martellus
no.
was not.
Third rounder, I
Mercedes
think.
Mercedes Lewis is on this list.
Back in 1946?
We're hoping we were going to get to the big
He was back there with Red Grange.
So, there was a bunch.
Vernon Davis?
Yeah, Vernon Davis.
Yes.
Miller.
Tyler Eifert.
Tyler Eifert.
That's tight end you.
Go number 85, right?
Hayden Hurst. Heath Miller. Kellen Winslow II. Ben Watson.
Might not want to mention him.
Dallas Clark. I mean, we could have gone on for a while.
We didn't, though.
We sure didn't.
Way to go, Shane.
Good job, Shane. All right, now, this one should be fun. I am looking at a list.
They never are.
Just in case. Of every running back taken in the first round in the NFL draft since the year 2000, first round running backs is the category. There's a lot of them. Chris Tannehill, give me
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs is correct. Hang on one second. Yes, Jahmyr Gibbs is correct.
There's so many running backs, so I can't think of any.
Yeah, well, you did. Shane, you got a running back for me?
Tank Bigsby?
I don't believe Tank Bigsby was a first rounder. No, I'm sorry.
I'm out. Sorry.
Yeah, he was a third rounder. We're done with Shane.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Not my position.
Lawrence.
Sony Michel.
Sony Michel gets a mention. Tanny.
Oh, damn it. I don't think Ricky Williams was 2000s, but I'm going to say him anyway.
Ricky
it's 99.
Williams was 99.
Lawrence, we're old is what it is.
Yes, it is.
All these years are blending together.
Remarkably unimpressive showing on these two categories. So for Lawrence, another one just for fun.
Chris Johnson.
Damn right. There's so many. Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, and on and on and on. We could have gone. It's very sad. Very
Do you
sad
have a favorite Saquon of that group? He's pretty good.
Todd Gurley? I gave you CJ Spiller like twice today. But yes.
That's okay. Why I went back to Sony Michelle, because he's been mentioned over the last couple of shows.
Mm-hmm.
I like callbacks.
Tank Bigsby should have been a first rounder.
that's what Tank Bigsby and his
and
agent
Tank
believed.
Johnson.
And his agent believed. All right. Yesterday, we heard from Dustin Rhodes as he criticized one of the great poets of our time, Ben Johnson, after his phenomenal poem to celebrate Brian Piccolo. According to the Teacher Development Project, I am looking at a list of the 40 most famous poets in the history of mankind. The 40 most famous poets in the history of mankind. Shane, I need a poet from you. I have a list of 40.
Yeah, I'll go with who I said yesterday and Shel Silverstein.
Shel Silverstein is correct. Shel Silverstein,
under poet, huh?
Number 33. Absolutely. Where the Sidewalk
have
Ends.
Have you ever read The Giving Tree?
Oh. I've read all those books.
Where the Sidewalk Ends is a terrific book. Shel Silverstein is right. Lawrence.
Poet Laureate of Illinois, Gwendolyn Brooks.
Gwendolyn Brooks.
She's on my list, Lawrence. Spoke at my grade school
yes,
back in
Gwendolyn
the day.
Yes, Gwendolyn Brooks is there. Absolutely. Tanny.
Nas.
Hey!
Sorry, Nasty Nas? No. Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou, absolutely. Number 4 on this list. Very nice. Famous poets. All time. Human history. Shane.
Probably Shakespeare?
Shakespeare, number 1. Number 1 on the list.
Good pick.
Excellent. I can't believe he was still on the board. Ben Johnson not on this list.
Oh.
Not yet. Lawrence.
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Ralph Waldo Emerson. I don't have him listed as a poet. Maybe thought of more as an author than a poet. Just a straight up author.
Just for me, is Thoreau on there?
Thoreau is not on here.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then I would have failed anyway.
Would
so
have failed both times.
I'm glad I guessed Gwendolyn Brooks, though.
All right. Tanny, I need a poet.
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
Hey, now.
Is absolutely on the. Where's Oscar Wilde? I just saw him over here.
He's right over there.
Yeah.
Down there.
No, I don't. See? Yes. Yes.
Okay, see?
Got him.
You know
what? Got him. Yes. No,
that's discrimination
got
against
him.
The Irish.
Got
yeah.
him.
That's what it is.
Yeah, he's one of the only.
The fake out that
only
he
like
goes with over
40
here.
Irish people on this list. Yeah, Oscar Wilde is in. Tanny. Shane, I need one.
Sylvia Plath.
Sylvia Plath gets
I love
a mention.
It.
Number 7. Tanny.
Carl Sandburg.
Carl
should be on the list.
Sandburg. That's a good pull.
Yeah.
Sandburg.
But I feel like if Thoreau and Emerson are not.
I know. I'm just going local here. Right? Chicago. He should be on there, right?
That's right.
That's Chicago. A good high school.
No. Sandburg not
oh,
on the list.
No.
Shane, I need another poet for the
Edgar
win.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe. Damn right. Edgar Allan Poe is there. That's it. Emily Dickinson, Robert Frost, Langston Hughes.
No. Angie Dickinson.
John Hughes.
Walt Whitman, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. T.S. Eliot, John Keats, E.E. Cummings.
John Keats, that's my man.
Hey, there is one hip-hop person on this list.
Okay, Kanye. Okay, here we go.
One hip-hop person.
Who's on the list?
Mm-hmm.
Tupac.
That is correct.
Yeah,
okay.
Believe that.
All right.
Yeah. Tupac
so.
Shakur.
I think that's right.
Tupac Shakur.
No, I'm just, yeah.
I have some feelings about it, but I actually think that's more accurate, putting him on that list than on, like, top rappers list.
Yep, agreed.
Ducks.
Well, yep.
He ducks.
God, Lawrence,
right now.
Were you the one who killed him?
Don't gif that anyone out there.
Yeah, don't
ever do.
Lawrence ducking.
Lawrence
walking away,
Tupac.
Seemingly from something that I might have said.
Lawrence was in Vegas recently.
Yeah. All right.
I did meet Suge.
Knight?
Yeah.
Did he hold you out over a balcony?
No.
No, that was Michael Jackson.
Me and Hood went to Las Vegas, and we were in McCarran Airport. And I was like, I think that's Suge Knight. And he was like, are you going to go talk to him? I was like, yeah. Is he not going to kill me here at the airport? And I dapped up with Shook, and it was all good.
That's me tremendous. And Tanny felt the same way when we saw Nick Wright at McCarran. We thought,
no.
Is that Nick Wright?
We saw him at Harry Reid Airport.
We saw him at Harry
Reid. Not Harry Reid's airport.
Nick looked like he'd been through it.
And he had
been up for 56 hours.
Yeah, a long time. A texter points out that this is the only sports radio show that knows more poets than first-round running backs.
That's why you listen.
That's what we're here
That's
for.
That's why we're here. That's how you beat Wojo. Just
damn
like
right.
that.
God, they've fallen, by the way.
Yeah, they really have.
It'd be the most boring thing in the world if we all just were rattling off running backs for 25 minutes. You wouldn't want to listen to that.
How many times can we mention Despacito before we just run off?
Well, that happened. Categories are done. Shane, did you win? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, good. Congratulations.
Way to go.
Yep.
You're all out? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you want more?
Well, I don't know what we're doing next.
Yeah, we're wide open for all kinds of stuff.
You want to do potpourri?
You want to do some potpourri?
Sure, why not?
I like potpourri. It smells delicious.
It does. We'll do that next, I guess, on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
Ian Anderson, boy, he could play that flute.
I love Jethro Tull. Huge fan of Jethro Tull. I mean, seriously, skating away on the thin ice of A New Day is one of the more perfect musical compositions of any genre all time. Just absolutely exquisite. Go listen to that with some quiet. But Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull is not who Pat Hughes was obliquely referring to.
It was Andre 3000. That's who he was referring to.
Anderson, boy, he could play that flute.
He sure could, but he couldn't pitch, and that's why the Angels just designated him for assignment. The former Braves young pitcher, remember he was really good as a young Brave, pitched in the postseason for them, but then arm troubles and ended up on the Angels. If you can't make the Angels, folks, well, that means you're either Ian Anderson or Nicky Lopez.
But when your arm is cocked for that long playing the flute, there's no way you can also pitch.
I believe CJ Edwards has now been called up.
I saw that as well.
For the Angels. So
at Angels roster.
The ex-Chicago thing that they got going on is pretty strong.
At Angels roster continues to be like a Stefan sketch. It has everything.
By the way, now we're a week since the movie Sinners has come out, and it is amazing, and everyone should go see it. But I've been hesitant to tell Shane and Tanny about it because I know that there is at least some marginal interest, but huge Irish history in that movie that you would not expect. That you would not expect.
Did they do the truth about the potato famine?
No, but it is pivotal to the story. I'll just say that. As a reason to draw you both in to seeing this movie, and the conversation around it is amazing.
I think if I hang on Instagram long enough, I will see the entire movie just in
yeah,
clips.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's a lot of that going around.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I heard from somebody else last night that Sinners is a must, and I was told that the music from Sinners is a character in and of itself.
It's going to blow your mind, Speegs, as a musician, because of the reverence that is paid to music, and that you could argue that it is a musical with the way that music helps to tell the story. The score of it is unbelievable. The choices that were made from a musical standpoint, including Irish music, it is really well done.
That's
and
excellent.
Layered. It's so good. I'm going to go see it again probably this weekend because I know that there's stuff that I missed. And it's fun, too. And I'm sure that a lot of people who are watching it are watching it for the Haley Steinfeld, Michael B. Jordan stuff. Because people are getting after Josh. Like, he Mr. Steal Your Girl is at it again inside of this movie. But, yeah, man, if you dig on music, if you want to share in some, how can I say this without spoiling it? If you want to get a history of the Great Migration – Mm-hmm. If you want to get a history of
of
Asians in America and the American South,
you're telling me too much.
Of the Irish and their relationship, not just with America, but Ireland itself.
I want to be surprised. I want to go to the movies.
I would love to go tomorrow. Usually that's when I would go back in the day during a Friday home 120, but that's another thing Theo Epstein's taking away from me.
Theo's game is taking that away from me.
Also, they don't really do 10 a.m. movies on Friday morning anymore, which is part of that.
Well, I had no clue there were Asians in America.
What about Block 37?
No, that's the one. Like 11:30 is their first time.
Really? Yeah.
So then you're not seeing it till 12, and if it's a 2 hour plus, it's cutting it close.
Tanny, it's 30 minutes of trailers. I will say that.
That's every time. You know that going in now, which is fine. You know.
But I will say for anyone who is going to, there are two post credit scenes, and both are important for you having a discussion about. One of them was mid credits, and then there's one post credit.
All these little spoilers. Next is going to tell me that Robert Downey Jr. ought to win the Oscar. You know what I mean?
He should probably win the Oscar for his role in this movie.
Really? You think so?
In blackface, just like Tropic Thunder.
I don't get out of character until the DVDs.
It's the last time we're going to allow it.
What's it called?
It's the last time. It was so great that the community is like, you know what?
We'll allow it. It's so funny.
It was so well done. It's like, we'll allow it.
Hey, here in the potpourri segment, which I'm really enjoying, and we should start making a thing, in my opinion, Boog Sciambi will be back on the Cubs broadcast tomorrow.
Oh, great. But we were worried about Boog because he missed, what, 4 or 5 games?
Yeah, Boog was ill. Boog was feeling it.
They were talking about him last night the Jordans because I guess who was it that –
Was it Fowler, Dex? Dex is a big Jordan guy.
No.
Because Dex was there the night before.
It was Crane. Crane dropped off a pair of Jordans that will match the Cubs City Connect jerseys for Boog.
And Boog wasn't there to get
him. And we knew it was for Boog because it was a size 15.
There you go. Yeah, Boog's got quite
the
collection.
Foot.
That's what JD was saying.
He prefers Yeti. He prefers to be known as Yeti.
Because JD was like, I wear a 13, so I know these are not for me.
Yeah.
So it's for Boog.
He had a thing that was abominable, and now he's going to be okay.
I'm glad he's okay.
And he's back. So, yeah, Boog and JD reunited tomorrow. And, of course, Pat and Ron here as the Cubs pick up with the Phillies, who can't seem to get it together. They're in some trouble over there in a crowded National League East.
Real quick note before we go to Green Bay. Do you know that Roger Goodell works out for the Hugs? And he's a year removed from back surgery, and he was very worried last year about the Hugs.
Yeah.
But he loved the Hugs, and he said he's fit and ready to go for the Hugs tonight. So why don't we go to Green Bay, and we're going to take you there. Our buddy Paul Papps is in Green Bay. He's going to share what life is like before the draft takes place next on The Score.